each one to reach one for Christ and see people cut to the heart for Jesus, well, it's important for us to see that conversions are not always extraordinary, but often happen in very ordinary ways. And so, as we continue our five-part series in Being Cut to the Heart, tonight we've been talking about deep conviction. The deep conviction that comes from the message of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. It's the same deep conviction we heard about 5 weeks ago from that happened to the people of Israel in Acts chapter 2. And that was just 50 days after Jesus was risen. And last week, and there's kind of a bit of a double show going on here, Robbie spoke on an extraordinary conversion. We heard about Saul, who, what did Robbie say? He said that God inconveniently intervened into his life. As he was walking down the road to go to Damascus and kill Christians and arrest them, Jesus appeared to him. An impossible reality, the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, and Saul turned at that moment, he turned around, he was cut to the heart, and he turned from being like 1,000% opposed to Jesus to being, well, 1,000% for Jesus and his people. It was extraordinary. I don't know if you were here. If you weren't, it's in Acts chapter 9. You can read about it. It was incredible. The passage we're looking at tonight in Acts chapter 16, it comes a little bit after Saul's extraordinary conversion. He's now become known as the Apostle Paul, and he set out on his second missionary journey already to proclaim the message of Jesus as Lord of all. However, what we'll see tonight is not an extraordinary conversion. In fact, it's a very uneventful, kind of ordinary conversion. Now, Andrew was going to come up and read the Bible for us, but I'm conscious that we've been listening from the front for a while. So what I want to do is, whoever, can we turn the house lights up? I want you to just turn with the people around you in threes or fours and open up to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 11 to 15, and just read that with the people around you. Okay, so that's Acts chapter 16, verse 11 to 15. And I'm not entirely sure what page that is in your church Bibles, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it or ask the people around you to help you. Okay, hopefully you've finished up. I want you to keep that passage open in front of you, because we're going to be working through that together tonight. Here's point one. People are often cut to the heart through ordinary, unspectacular events. I don't know if you noticed it as you read it with the people around you, but the events recorded here, they're just regular. They're kind of ordinary. It's just one thing after the next after the next. It just happens. Look at it with me. In verse 11, you see they get on a ship and they go to sea and they sail straight for Samothrace, right? Just straight there. And then the next day, after staying the night in harbour, they sail straight on to Neapolis. Then they go to Philippi, and we're told it's a Roman colony and the leading city of that area of Macedonia. And they just stay there. And then, well, in verse 13, they go outside the city gate to the river, and they expected to find a place of prayer. And that's exactly what they found. No surprises. And then, look at it again, verse 13, they sit down and they just start having a conversation with these women who have turned up to this place of prayer. Verse 14, one of the women that was there, Lydia, who has got a good job, she's got a good job working for Spotlight as a fabric seller. She's got her own place. She's already a worshipper of God. She's not a Jew, but she's already worshipping the God of Israel. Okay, good. Well, she listens. She hears the message, becomes a Christian. God's cut it to the heart. She becomes a Christian, and then she's like, oh, well, why don't you guys come back to my place? Come and stay. It just happens. One thing after the next after the next. There's nothing extraordinary about it. It's people sitting down and chatting. There it is. An ordinary conversion. No crazy stories, no miracles, no visions, no incredible life that's been off the rails, and turn around from a life that's been off the rails to one that's now on track. It's just a few people sitting around talking. And one person who already believed in God becomes a Christian. It's pretty ordinary, right? I don't know if maybe some of these things are similar for your life. For me, my conversion was pretty ordinary. My mum's a Christian. She took me to church. She taught me about Jesus. I had scripture, like probably most of you guys growing up in New South Wales, go to school, you get taught scripture. They taught the stories about Jesus. Then, year 7, was going along to youth group each week, kind of like going to the place of prayer every week. And one of these weeks, the youth group leaders, they showed this video that some people had obviously put together with their video making skills. And it said how historically reliable the New Testament was. These things happened. Okay, good. No light bulbs switched on for me at that point. But I kept going along. At some point, the youth group kind of started to dwindle. There was about 4 of us left. And we got some new leaders. They were 19 years old. They didn't heaps know what they were doing. But they came and they kind of opened the Bible with us and they kept teaching us. Still nothing really, just kind of checking things out. And then went up to Katoomba, like I did yesterday, to a convention. And a guy stood up the front, much like I'm doing now, and he opened a Bible passage. We read it. He explained it. And it was like, bam. Oh, that's what the message is. Jesus has died for my sins. Okay, great. I'll become a Christian then. Sure. It was all of these ordinary things that people do all the time. And then suddenly, one day it was like, yeah, sure, I believe that. It kind of, the lights turned on. But it was ordinary. There are so many ordinary things that God can work through, that God can and does work through to cut people to the heart for Jesus. Ordinary things like parents who teach you about Jesus, or maybe they drag you along to church, or they keep sending you along to church or encouraging you to go. Or people who are not your parents who keep opening the Bible with you and teaching you, or teaching people at kids' church teaching people at youth group. They don't necessarily do the most amazing job in the world. It's kind of ordinary, but God can use that and does use those things to cut people to the heart. Scripture teachers, they go in week after week after week. They don't know if anything's going in the ear or if it's going in one and then out the other. But people become Christian through that. Or a book given to them by their scripture teacher, and there's a note in the front. And then years later, they come and give you a call and say, "Oh, I read that. I read that book, or I read the Bible that you gave me, and I became a Christian through that." Maybe it's a friend inviting you along to church. Maybe it's just a friend writing you a little note. There's all sorts of ways, ordinary, plain, everyday ways that people become Christians. Dan encouraged us with a few just before. Maybe it's a smile out the front of church when people turn up, or at youth group on a Friday night. So many possibilities. I'm sure you'll be able to come up with much more than me. Here's the question I want to ask you. How are you involved in these ordinary, unspectacular, everyday things that might be important for someone coming to know Jesus, being cut to the heart? That's point one. People are often cut to the heart through ordinary, unspectacular events. But point two, and I really want you guys to hear this, being cut to the heart, even through ordinary events, is always extraordinary because God is at work. Come back to the passage with me and let's have a look at the events around Lydia's conversion. The events and the change in her, they appear a bit ordinary at first glance. But it is God's work. See, look at the end of verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord did it. But it's not just in that moment either. You see, the moments leading up to this, the events leading up to this, God was at work in these seemingly ordinary events. This is Paul's second missionary journey. It started back in verse 6 of chapter 16. You can look up there. They'd originally tried to go to Asia and then Mysia, but the Holy Spirit had stopped them. Don't know how it happened, but he stopped them from going there. Paul ends up down in Troas with his crew. He meets a guy called Luke, and he joins their companions. And he has this vision, and he's called over to Macedonia to preach the gospel. God is at work stopping Paul from going one way, and then calling him to go another, to go over to Macedonia, to go over to Philippi, and then he has plain sailing. This is Paul, who's getting shipwrecked and stopped by all sorts of people, thrown in prison. Nothing happens. He just gets there. God was at work in those ordinary events to cut Lydia to the heart, and that's extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. The God of the universe was intimately working in all of those events and in Lydia's own heart to cut her to the heart. Miraculous. And it's just that extraordinary every single time someone comes to know Jesus. Every single time someone is cut to the heart. Every single time someone is converted. There's a few verses on the screen that I want to take us through. There we go. 1 Thessalonians. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You can see that the Holy Spirit is there working in their conversion. The Holy Spirit's there. The next one, Hebrews, says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word cuts to the heart. Next one. Let's go one more. Here's from the Gospel of John. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, disciples, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. When he comes, and here's the clincher, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is going to cut people to the heart. That's God doing it each and every single time, whether it's ordinary events or something incredible. I want to get you to do something now. I don't know if you know this tradition. There's a bit of a tradition where usually it's used around Easter in Anglican churches. You say, Christ is risen, to someone, and they say back. Okay, a lot of you know it. Yesterday up at men's convention, there were a bunch of us up there, and we heard the testimony of Doug McLennan, who actually used to know back at Christchurch St. Ives. He'd grown up a Christian. He'd been taught about it for years and years. He knew it. He understood it. But there was one day at some meeting, I can't remember all the details, forgive me, but they got them to do this. So some guy turned to him and said, Christ is risen, and he took his hand and said, he's risen indeed. And then the guy in front started to turn around and he go, oh, get him first, Christ is risen. He said back, he's risen indeed. This is not something new for Doug. It wasn't new. But that day on his way home, when he was walking, the pennies just dropped. The pennies dropped. The message of Christ is risen, it made sense to him. God cut him to the heart that day and turned him to Christ. Let me ask you, how do you look at your own story of how God worked to bring you to Christ? Do you look at it and think, so boring? No one wants to hear that. Or do you look at it with eyes of faith and see God was at work in all of these different ways, but whatever it was, God was at work. You know what happened when God cut you to the heart, whenever that happened, if you can put a day on it or can't? Heaven partied hard. Harder than Soundwave last week. Guys, tonight after we finish our formal time together, I want you to do, maybe not quite a party harder than Soundwave, but I want you to ask someone here, how did you come to know Jesus? How did God cut you to the heart? And share that story with each other. And then spend some time giving thanks to God for how he's worked in each other's lives. Because it's absolutely extraordinary. And if you're a guest with us tonight, whether you're and you're not a believer, you don't know Jesus, ask one of our church members why they believe in Jesus and what they believe about Jesus, because they'd love to tell you. They'd love to tell you. Well, we're up to our last point for tonight. We've said that through ordinary events, people are cut to the heart as God works the extraordinary. But what God is doing is also extraordinary. And this is point three. God is making a family of people from every nation in Jesus. Now, we only get a glimpse of it in our passage. Again, I want you to look at it with me. Find verse 15, put your finger on it. You can see it there where Lydia, she's converted. She invited Paul and his companions to her home. She said, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she convinced them to go. Now, it shows a few things. Obviously, they thought she'd been converted. But it's pretty easy for us to skip over this. And there's something really, really huge in these few little words. Ladies, I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you've gathered, you kind of get together weekly with some friends of yours, just women. Maybe you get together in a park or down at the beach. You do it semi-regularly. And some guy you've never, ever met before walks up to you, and or he's got a few mates as well, and they sit down next to you, and they just start talking to you. Yeah, have a conversation. And then at the end of it, you're like, hey, cool, why don't you come back to my place and stay over? I don't think so, right? Something huge has just happened. It's even more extraordinary given the history, because she's not a Jew. And Jews and Gentiles, they didn't hang out. The Jews weren't even, they weren't allowed to hang out with those who weren't Jews. This division, the division that was there, was the biggest division, the biggest social division in the biblical world. This is not a division like, do you have an iPhone or a HTC, which apparently is a bit of a big deal sometimes around here. I don't really get it. It's not a Katy Perry or One Direction division or a Coke Pepsi or a Ford Holden kind of division. This is huge. A huge, deep division. And what I want you to, just so you can understand it a little bit better, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You don't need to mark Acts. We're not going to be coming back there. Ephesians chapter 2, it's on page 1157 of the church Bibles, if you want to find it quickly. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're at verse 11. We're going to kind of read through and skip over some bits. But this is the Apostle Paul writing this to some Christians in a place called Ephesus, a little while after the stuff that we're looking at with Lydia. Anyway, it says, I'm going to go with this one, sorry. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time, verse 12, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That's what he's calling this Jew-Gentile divide. The dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose, get this, was to create in himself one new man out of the two, and thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. And hear this, members of God's household. God's work is extraordinary. But what he is doing, so extraordinary, mind-blowing. In the risen Jesus, God has destroyed humanity's greatest divisions. When God cuts people to the heart, however he does it, he is canceling out their sin and making peace between him and them through Jesus. Peace with God. And at the same time, he's uniting them to each other, making them a family. People from every nation, tribe, language, one family under Jesus. He's working to bring peace to all of humanity. That's not a small thing. You don't have to look far for the hostility and hatred in the world. If God has cut you to the heart by Jesus, for Jesus, we're family. This overcomes any division, any social division you can think of, whether it's nationality, culture, financial status, personal preferences of which phone you use. Those things aren't destroyed. You can still have those preferences and those differences. We keep them, but they're no longer what dictates our relationships with one another, with other believers. Brothers and sisters, we are a family, one family in Christ Jesus. So let's work at expressing that together, living that out with each other. Imagine what it could look like. One day it'll be perfect, but imagine what it could look like now if we live it out. You know, I gave you that little encouragement before to ask someone how God worked in their life to bring them to Jesus. Maybe tonight, as well as doing that, you could double it up and go find someone, maybe who you don't know, or you wouldn't naturally talk to, someone who's maybe in a different age category to you, or a different life stage, a different nationality, a different culture, different technological preference, different musical taste. We don't want to get hung up on those things. We can end up kind of grouping a little bit that way. That it kind of just happens naturally a little bit. But why not step out and express being family by going and talking to someone a little bit different tonight? Expressing the unity we have in Jesus. And guests, if you don't believe yet, well, hear God's invitation to become part of His family. Well, I hope that tonight you've seen that through ordinary events, people are cut to the heart as God works to make one family, people from every nation in the risen Lord Jesus. This year, as each one of us seeks to reach one person with the good news of Jesus, we need to pray and ask God to cut people to the heart because it's His work. Pray and ask God to work the extraordinary as you have ordinary everyday conversations with friends, neighbors, co-workers, the barista you get your coffee from, the mechanic you fix your car, get your car fixed by, the guy who you pay your petrol to. Pray that God would bring them to have peace with Him and with you through the forgiveness of Christ. And guys, let's celebrate every single one of those people that God cuts to the heart this year together. Let me lead us in prayer for that now. Almighty God, sovereign God, we know that You work through the extraordinary and the ordinary. That You have brought many of us here tonight to know Jesus through all sorts of different ways. And every single time, every time You've cut us to the heart, that is extraordinary. We thank You for it. We pray that You would help us to celebrate those things together, celebrate what You have done. And we pray that this year, You would help us to do ordinary, little, everyday things that would help reach out to people with Jesus, the message of Jesus. We pray that through us, through those ordinary things, You would cut people to the heart, bring them to know Christ, and be part of our family, Your family. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We worship a very powerful God who does extraordinary things. So please stand as we sing our last song.